I briefly explained what a newsletter is, but do you want to touch on like sort of what it exactly what it is and why you started the newsletter?
So I've been blogging for a while. I did it consistently for 1 year, about 3 years ago. And my main focus was to like just learn how to become a better writer. That was my main focus. I just wanted to write about my thoughts, something I was interested in that week.
Let me rephrase that question. What platform or platforms would you recommend to get started? And then how do you develop a structure for the newsletter, but not just a structure that will deliver value to your readership? Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Think Connect podcast. I'm your host, Nick Daniels. This is the podcast where we interview ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And today I'm joined by a guest who we've actually had on the show twice before, and this is his third time, the first person to come on the show three times, and his name is Byron Greeley. So Byron, welcome back onto the Think Connect podcast.
Thanks, Nick. It was great to be here. Yeah, always enjoy our conversations, and so looking forward to this one.
100%. So the reason why I have Byron on the show today is because I want to start a newsletter. And a newsletter is basically like an online email that you produce, and then you build up an email list and you use that to leverage various things, which we will get into. And Byron has recently started one and he's done heaps of research on it. And I really wanted to pick his brain to see how he did it, sort of the steps to get started, and what are some, you know, some golden nuggets that we can take for any of the listeners who do want to start a newsletter. So Byron, I think I briefly explained what a newsletter is, but do you want to touch on like sort of what it is and why you started the newsletter?
So I've been blogging for a while. I did it consistently for 1 year, about 3 years ago. And my main focus was to like just learn how to become a better writer. That was my main focus. And one problem with it was distribution. Like, no one knows about my personal website, byrongreeley.com. Like, no one's just going to stumble across that and then read my blog. And if I focused on writing the blogs with like an SEO focus, then I didn't feel like I was coming across as genuine, because you have to repeat certain keywords and all that type of stuff. And I just wanted to write about my thoughts, something I was interested in that week. And then the phase passed. Well, not the phase, but like life happened. And then I had a bit of spare time and I was like, okay, I want to share my thoughts again in a pretty concise way. Things I'm interested in, just show people, but I want better distribution. And I'm obviously consuming all the content where everyone says, when you're on these social media platforms and you're trying to build a personal brand, you don't own those followers. And so that platform can close down tomorrow and your followers go with them. And it's very different with email addresses. And so it's become very popular to collect email addresses where people create Notion templates, but you have to get the free Notion template on Gumroad by putting in your email address. There's people providing so many free assets, but it's always in exchange for an email address. So it's not really free. You're now on this person's email list. And those email addresses have value. And depending on your niche, they can have a very high monetary value. And the money wasn't my focus in the beginning. I wasn't expecting to blow up overnight. I know it's going to take a lot of time, and I'm using the time at the moment to just get better at creating my newsletter, getting the structure right, and creating some evergreen content that when people do stumble across my newsletter, it shows that I'm committed to this. I've been doing it for years. Well, eventually years. And then I slowly collect email addresses over time. And then you can monetize it. Newsletter advertising can go for quite a lot. And so it is a possible avenue of monetization down the road. And I thought I'd just start now and see where it goes.
That is epic. And I have read your newsletter and it is very good. And you're 100% spot on there with evergreen content. I've started putting out content on LinkedIn actually as a result of you putting out content on LinkedIn. You and another friend of mine, Connor, so shout out to him. And I'm actually just loving the process of learning something new every week and then being able to share that. And that's definitely what your newsletter does. So we will touch on monetization a bit further down the line, but you spoke about structure there, like how to structure it. So as someone who has no idea sort of where to even begin, first of all, where would you put the newsletter? Or let me rephrase that question. What platform or platforms would you recommend to get started? And then how do you develop a structure for the newsletter, but not just a structure that will deliver value to your readership?
So firstly, platforms. When Morning Brew and The Hustle and Milk Road all blew up, and then the guys from My First Million podcast who sold The Hustle and Milk Road for, well, and Morning Brew was also sold for millions of dollars, I think this drew attention to the newsletter space. And so platforms started creating newsletter-focused platforms where previously people didn't think there was enough of a market for it. But now these platforms make it so easy to create a newsletter. And I use Beehive, but there's also ConvertKit and another one is Ghost. And they're all great in their own right. They have different pricing models. And so it's pretty much up to you depending on your preferences. I chose Beehive because it has an option for growth. It has, I'm not using them yet because you have to pay for those features, but they're locked in. When you pay $99 a month, which is quite pricey. But that is once I feel like I'm ready to monetize, I think that's a worthwhile investment because they have tools for rapid growth where it's cross-pollination, where people are talking about other newsletters. You can do it manually, and people have reached out to me. I'm on a few platforms. So you can do it manually, but it's built into Beehive. There's also a really interesting advertising model where you'd put your budget up front and then other newsletters will bid for part of that budget, and you get to choose which newsletters you want to be associated with. And then you only pay per new subscriber and until that budget is over, and then those newsletters will stop recommending your, so it's a guaranteed way to spend money on subscribers. And they've got so many other tools. And so that's the reason why I chose Beehive. But then the ConvertKit, which is also great, and it's slightly more funnel focused. So you can create different, they don't necessarily have to be newsletters. It can be like you download someone's Notion template and then you're in the funnel and you'll get seven emails regarding that. And maybe they're educating you and trying to convert you onto some paid service or paid product. So ConvertKit has those ones, and you can do that in Beehive too, but that's also part of the paid. And then Ghost is like mainly writing focused, and there's a whole lot of other ones. So yeah, I ended up on Beehive. And in terms of the structure, I'm not expecting to blow up. Like you said, this is a great way to just pay attention to what I'm consuming, what I think people will find interesting. And I just applied that thinking to my newsletter. So I was like, what am I finding interesting? And what would I want in a newsletter? And so I came up with four different headlines. It's a perspective, a tool, a piece of content to consume. It's watch, read, listen, and a concept that I try explain and make sense of. And those are the different sort of facets that I find interesting and want to learn more about. Like, I want my perspective to be changed. And if I force myself to find something that changes it weekly, then I'm growing. And with AI booming, there's so many tools out there that I need to pay attention and I need to find a tool. And the same goes with content. I'm consuming hours of podcasts every day on my commute to work or whatever it is. Or in the gym, I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm a bit conscious of that because I don't want to just post podcasts all the time. So I've actually got to set aside some YouTube time, read books. So it's forcing me to do that. So there's a bit of diversity in my newsletter. And then the same for a concept is like, I don't understand this. Let me learn about it. And then I can tell people what I think about it and how it works. So I just, yeah, it was just, what would I want in a newsletter? That's just applied.
Yep. Yeah. I love that. First touch on your newsletter. And I'm going to plug it here because I think everybody should sign up to it because I gain massive value from it every month.
Thank you.
It's called Not Just Another Excuse Newsletter. Is that correct?
Another Excuse. Another Excuse on Instagram because Another Excuse was taken. But yeah, it's okay, Another Excuse newsletter.
Another Excuse newsletter. And basically, the reason why you got started is because you were sick of not taking action. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Sick of making excuses to take action. Yeah. So that's where the name came from. And I love that you personalized it. So you found, it's almost like you've identified an area in your life where you want to learn and grow. You've identified personal development, and now you put that into action that could potentially one day be monetized, which is awesome, right? I want to touch on the Beehive. Just to clarify, Beehive and ConvertKit, they are separate platforms, or ConvertKit is a part of Beehive?
They're two separate, they're competing platforms.
Oh, they're right. Okay, cool. What I love about what you were saying was that it's almost like they built a community of newsletter people or newsletter providers. And then you can leverage that community within Beehive to get more emails to promote your newsletter. That's correct, right?
Well, everyone's on the same page. I mean, you started a newsletter. The only thing you want is subscribers, and everyone wants more subscribers. So they can also... There's also these like third-party platforms where you can just reach out to people. It shows how many subscribers you have, and you can connect with people who have similar subscribers to you, and you can try like level up that way too. So,
very cool. So, what's been for you the biggest tool for leveraging yours in that platform? Just for the listeners, got some nuggets there that we can help.
In a free version of Beehive, you don't have access to many tools. The one I'm using now is a recommendation one. So through a third-party app, people have reached out to me. I've reached out to people.
Nice.
And then you put them on your recommendations when someone signs up on your site.
Okay.
So once they put in their email address, a recommendation pop-up with a list of ones I recommend will come up, and they're doing the same on their newsletter. Okay. And so, yeah, that's the main tool I'm using at the moment, but it takes a lot of legwork and research. And so I'm slowly growing organically at the moment, but I need to pull finger and try to get more, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're not investing money, there's tools available, but I wanted to get a solid foundation where I know how everything's working. I'm happy with the newsletter. People can scroll through and it's solid evergreen content. And then I invest in myself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's the main reason why I love this concept of newsletter. But now the part that everybody wants to know is, how do you make money from this stuff? So it's all good putting in all the hours, and I'm well aware of how time consuming it is to make evergreen content, because it has to be top notch. I actually put something out this morning that took me a while to write and put together. I took a framework from Jim Quick and then explained it, but redesigned it with my branding and my color scheme. And just that alone, you know what I mean? That would have been one, I think that would have been concept in your newsletter if that fit somewhere. And that's just one of the four different elements you have in your newsletter. And it took me like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it is very time consuming. which means that it would make more sense for this to make money, right? So how do you monetize a newsletter?
Before I go into that, I'd just like to say I read that post that you made and it was really great. And you are right, that would fall under my like concept section. I listened to that podcast episode on Diary of a CEO and he touched on some really fascinating resources. And yeah, that's so that was very well written. So monetization is mainly through advertising. And depending on your niche, you can monetize pretty early. Although it's hard to get subscribers, once you reach like the 1,000 subscriber mark, maybe even a bit sooner if you're in like a really popular niche like finance. Finance normally has very high CPMs, also on YouTube. So that translates over to newsletters. But my sort of goal is start outreach at about 1,000 subscribers. And then you can monetize pretty well, like $500 to $1,000 per newsletter that goes out per week for that ad placement.
Wow.
And okay. You don't want to overdo it. So it's usually about two per newsletter. And you could have a third that it's like brought to you by so-and-so. So this newsletter is brought to you by so-and-so and then two ad placements within the newsletter. That's my thinking. And so, yeah, at 1,000 subscribers, you could charge about that much. And then it's only more from there. The more subscribers you get, the more you can charge. Because it's guaranteed eyeballs and email inboxes are becoming really like sought after places for marketing.
What about generating your own content and selling that? You can obviously do that through your newsletter as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, once you get enough of a following, that 1,000 true fans concept by Kevin Kelly, you can then convert people too. You can point them in the direction of your products, your services, and that type of thing. But at the moment, with like 100 odd subscribers, those are like your close friends, supporters and stuff. So it's not really at the stage where you'd like sell to them. I'd say even selling your own products, I think to be comfortable for me personally, it would be around 1,000 subscriber mark.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I agree with that as well. It's interesting. I was reading another newsletter that I signed up to. I think it's Justin Welch. I think that's his name. So shout out to him because he delivers a lot of value as well. And in one of his newsletters in the past month that I read, what he does, and this is brilliant, is he'll do a newsletter, for example, or just a really good piece of content that you'll spend a lot of time on. And then what he does is his model is he'll take one piece of great content that he spends a lot of time on, and then one piece of information or knowledge or insight. And then he splits that up into 10 different pieces of content because he has obviously 10 different social media platforms. So one might be LinkedIn, repurposing in LinkedIn, they'll turn it into a reel on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. Got Twitter, turn it into a tweet. So he basically diversifies that one piece of content into that. Those 10 platforms then generate sales. Each platform is generating sales by itself because he is on each platform. And then through his sales, he is then making affiliate sales. It's absolutely brilliant. So that's a model that if I get into this, I will definitely replicate. And I think that's a golden nugget for anyone listening here. It's great information. It's free information. I think the biggest problem for people is getting started. And that's like a big reason why you should follow Byron's newsletter, because that is the reason why he started. And that's why it's not just another excuse. So Byron, what have been the biggest lessons, challenges, sort of the most difficulties with this newsletter that maybe people wanting to start can avoid and jump over that hurdle?
It's just start. It's like the mental, I had a bit of a mental barrier. I came up with the idea and I was like, oh, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to wait for the right time. And I was like, this is so dumb because the whole purpose of this thing was to just start. And now I'm like putting it off, waiting for the right time. I'm like, that is the exact opposite of the purpose of this. Well, I now have a podcast too, the same concept, and the newsletter. It's like, from blogging, and I used to also take photos, street photos in Hong Kong. And with all of them, I set goals where I had to post a particular amount of times a week, no matter what. And it's flexing that muscle where I'm now almost respect myself enough to, and I trust myself that I'm going to show up and post every single day and week, no matter what. And it's now become like ingrained in me. Like there is no other option. I'm not going to give myself a day off, because if I set up the systems in the right way, and which I've been doing recently after starting a new job, is just grinding out on Sundays, because I gave myself the tough task of removing all the ums from my podcast episodes. It was just start, and then it's you get a few subscribers and you're like, you just tell yourself the story that you owe it to them. Although they don't give a shit, they're not really caring, which is the same for any piece of content when you first start out. Like, no one actually gives a shit. Like, you're just a small fish.
Until you become a big fish, right?
Yeah, but like they said, that type of thing happens overnight, but it's 5 years of work that goes into that overnight success. So no one's going to be watching for the first 2 to 5 years, but you owe it to yourself to put the best stuff out there. And then you commit to a cadence that works for you to start, but it has to be regular or else you're not going to keep up with it. And then just stick with it. Sometimes, especially my posting on LinkedIn these days, starting the new job, I feel like my posting has taken a dip at times. It's not at the quality I want because I'm not focused and spending enough time on it, but I still post every day. So it's like that balance where I think the quality will come back once I get more into a particular, not necessarily routine, but have a more of a structure where I know I'm posting every day. It's like I am already, but I come up with maybe all my LinkedIn post ideas on the Sunday when I'm editing the podcast and writing my newsletter. It's just like one big brain dump, and then I'm done for the week. And so I'm not worried about it. And then my posts on LinkedIn can also come out regularly. So yeah, it's a combination of just start and respect yourself enough to hold yourself accountable. No one else is going to do it for you. No one cares as much, especially for this posting content thing. It's a bit foreign to people. A lot of people are fearful of it. So it's tough to find people who will like be on your case about it. If you come up with a good enough excuse, they'll be like, oh, okay, and they'll be soft. It's like you're the only one that's probably going to drive and whip you into action.
Yeah, I've spoken to a few people about wanting to do this, but they're just too scared, like you said, fearful to put themselves out there. And I get it, like, because I suppose I get it and I don't get it. For me, it was daunting in the beginning, but then after like a month, you know, I only got good feedback. I didn't get bad feedback. There's obviously trolls online and stuff, but from my community, my social community, from my friends, I didn't get any bad feedback. So for anyone who's like fearful of starting, you don't know what you don't know. So put yourself out there and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I did it in reverse to you. I did podcast and now I'm going to go newsletter, but I just got started. So like, look at that. We both have a podcast and essentially a newsletter. And that's all because we started. You know what I mean? It's a start.
100%. And also people see trolls on successful people's profiles. And if you get to that level of success, then trolls will come, but you already got the cadence, you already got the drive, you see how beneficial it is, and you won't give a shit, or you'll have to work on not letting those people affect you, but you'll have a good enough thing going. Like, trolls aren't around when you first start. Like, like I said, not many people give a shit. And so the people that are giving you feedback are your friends. And so it is only going to be positive. And the importance of building a personal brand is unbelievable. Like, people start coming to you and opportunities arise that you would have never even expected. You just put your thoughts out there and it just comes. It's crazy. And you're like, holy shit. Now some people want me to like work with them or advise on this project. And you're like, I don't even think I'd ever do this in my life. And now there's just more opportunities. And so why not give yourself more opportunities? That's just my
100%. And there's a saying that says you will never be criticized by someone doing more than you, right? So all those trolls out there are just haters because they're not doing, because you're doing more than them. You know what I mean? And also the opportunities, touching on the opportunities, like you will be, I promise you, once you get started, you will be blown away by some of the inbox DMs that you get and the messages that you get and the projects that you, like some people start this and then end up in a completely new, you know, it can literally take you anywhere in life. So yeah, that's a bit of encouragement from both of us to get started. Byron, is there anything that we've spoken about today? I mean, is there anything today that we haven't spoken about that you would like to touch on?
Well, just out of interest, because I know you've been doing the podcast for a while, what is your approach to getting people on? Because I know you're also in Vietnam, and so time plays a role in that. I'm working a full-time job, and so I'm very conscious of finding enough time and the right time where both our schedules fit, all of that type of stuff. So how do you manage that?
So with the time zone thing, that's the trickiest part, is because I've done a lot of interviews now with people from the States, and I've got one tomorrow. Like, I've got to get up at 6 a.m. With that, I just have a no excuses mentality. Like, if I can get content from someone who's, you know, who's going to deliver some value, I'll get up at 4 a.m. I'll get up at 6 a.m. With regards to, I would just want to touch on, you were saying that you want your podcast to be perfect, to take out all the ums and the ahs. I was like that for a year. I was so pedantic with it. Every other podcast that I listen to, even the best ones, The Diary of the CEO, Impact Theory, all of those sort of podcasts, I mean, they're very good speakers, don't get me wrong, but they still do have their ums and their ahs, you know, like it's natural. So what I've really done, Byron, which has helped me, is taking up this view of perfectionism and not spend so much time editing the podcast in terms of taking out every and it saved me a bucket load of time. It means I can book more clients, I mean more guests. It means that I can spend more time on other aspects like newsletters and content and stuff like that. So those are two things. And then there are platforms that you can use as well. I use Podbooker. And like you were saying about opportunities, people are now coming to me after being doing a podcast for like a year. People are now approaching me and asking me to be on the podcast just because I have a little bit of credibility. Not much, but I have a little bit, you know what I mean? So I would say those three things are important. And then I'd say the last thing is, like you, where I started exactly how you started out. I started with my friends, interviewing my friends, close family, anyone in my close circle who started a business or has insights in a category that I'm interested in, I can learn from. I started like that. I set myself a weekly cadence, like you do now, a weekly podcast. I found it very, very, very difficult to keep that up in the beginning. You will have loads of ideas in your head, I'm sure, of guests, and you know, you have a great network over there in London, but it does come to a point where, like, you're working a full-time job, if you can't get a guest on, then it becomes every 2 weeks sort of thing. So what I've done is I've taken a step back and I've not done a weekly cadence. I've turned it into a bi-weekly cadence. So that gives me enough time and takes a lot of pressure off of me to deliver good value podcasts every second week. And then what I do during the weeks that I'm not doing a podcast is I'll make my own content. I'll make a reel of something I learned, or a couple of reels or something, and I'll fill the gap for the rest of the month with my own content. This keeps the viewership obviously interested. You're still delivering, you're still learning, you're still doing exactly what you're doing. But rather than having so much pressure to deliver, in the beginning especially, this is what's worked for me. When you are big, and you do, because I do believe that this podcast will go places, when you are big, then you'll have someone who, and you can pay someone to edit for you. you know, that's a complete game changer. But right now, that's what's worked for me. So, I mean, I think keep it up, Rup. Keep up what you're doing. Persevere, and you're going to learn so much. But those are just that little tips from me from what I've learned, because I know how time-consuming content can be.
Yeah. Well, I've committed to a weekly cadence. And you know that stat of 21 episodes, you're in the top 1% of all podcasts. So I'm doing weekly cadence to 21 episodes and just going to go from there. Hopefully I can do a full year. That'll be 52 episodes under my belt. Yes, it's a lot of editing, but like one thing I'm really considering quite soon is a real editor. There's guys in India who can smack them out for pretty cheap prices. But I'm like, do I do that for one episode a week? Do I do it for my own talking heads? Start putting out some of that content, because I'm posting one reel and TikTok and YouTube short a day of just my bits of my conversation from the podcast. So I could either get an editor to make it look more interesting with some visuals and stuff. Like I could do that myself, but it's just too time consuming for at like what I've got going. But I could also turn my newsletter content into shorter YouTube reel type things and then get a video editor to add in visuals and text and make it look all cool with sound effects. And so I'm actually doing research at the moment on Upwork and Fiverr, looking for some kid in India who's a whiz that can knock out a video for like $5, $10. And if I find someone that's good enough at that price point, then I might spend that once a week for one reel and see how it goes. Because those are the videos that get reach, and TikTok as a way to get more viewers is one of the best free ways. So it might be a good experiment to check for conversion. If I spend $10 on a reel a week, how well does that video convert into listeners and followers and subscribers and stuff? And so we'll see.
100%. So what I currently do is I've set aside a budget. If you truly believe in this thing, right? This is for all the listeners. If you truly believe in this thing or the product, you will invest in it, right? So what I've done is exactly what you said. I put a budget aside from the job, my current income, right? And I'm investing that every month into exactly what you're saying. So you can get a video editor, you can get this, you can get that. It doesn't even have to be a lot of money. But what that will do is that'll free up your time to work on other things and build scale, you know what I mean? And you're right, with TikTok, organic traffic, it's huge. It's massive. If you get a great hit there, I mean, you know, your newsletter will fly up in the readership and subscribers. So Myron,
exactly.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Always insightful. I feel like we need one of these catch-ups every 3 months, because there's always something new and innovative or something, you know, that pops up. And it's great. It's great insight for the readers. So once again, thank you very much. It's been great to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll touch base soon.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I really enjoyed it. It was great to chat again. Cheers.
For more news and content about ThinkerNick, go to www.thinkerNick.com or visit our Facebook or Instagram pages at ThinkerNick.